Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, the call timed out because it hit an hour. But no, I was saying that the only thing that's valuable inside the house is my wife and kids.
Right, absolutely.
You get all the money and all that stuff that I have is for them. You know, all the work that I have is for them. It doesn't mean anything to me. I'm a guy, I could just go sleep on the couch, you know, turn on the TV, I'm happy.
For
having an hour of no responsibility or my boys jumping on me, that's happy. But I could get that without having to have the house and all this stuff, you know, businesses and all these headaches. I do that stuff for them and help that solve their problems later. So, you know.
Absolutely.
That's the weird thing.
Well,
the weird thing about it. When you don't have it, everybody, you know, the most important thing is to get it. And then once you get it, you know, you sit back and you reflect on what's important. So the key to happiness is to always keep your eyes on what's important. You're not sleeping in the Buick anymore. Right?
Yeah, well, right? That's true. That's true.
Yeah. So,
you're not kidding.
That's positive. Yeah.
And I've done things like shoveling, like even just shoveling snow for a neighbor. You know,
yeah.
And I wasn't just to help, you know, to help out, whatever, you know, make me feel good that I can do it. You know, I wasn't expecting nothing and I wasn't looking for anything. And they came up to me and they gave me $5 and I'm like, no, I don't want your money. I said, I'm just doing this because I want to.
It feels good.
And they're like, no, you're fine. And they said,
why are you giving the homeless people money all the time? And I'm like, because it makes me feel good, if you want to know the truth. You know, it's, and I know God's watching us with everything that we do all the time, you know. And she's, he's just going to spend it on liquor. I'm going, hey, that's his karma. That's between him and God. That's not for me to judge and go, hey, I could help him. I did help him. I'll get judged by that. And if he goes and spends it on liquor, he'll get judged for that, you know. So it's not my place to be God and, you know, executioner and everything. I think that he wouldn't give me these things he doesn't give you power if it's not going to be put in the right hand. You know what I mean? You're going to do the right thing with it. I don't think he's going to give you strength to be evil. The devil does that.
Right. Yeah, yep. Devil's advocate.
It's good to help people. Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
So,
yeah. But yeah.
Our company from a Google partnership perspective, I'm literally giving you a bare minimum as my company would allow me to, just so you know that. If I could give it to you for free for a couple of months, I would. You know, I'm sure Jim would have, and I'm sure Sahak would have too. You know what I mean? After just talking in and hearing everything, and, you know, we want to be a part of that success story, but. Yeah, as a Google partner, we still operate under certain guidelines. And so
I understand. Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you go onto
our site, the cheapest package is $299. So I really, really even went $100 under the cheapest one that we have to put you on a pro package that's not the cheapest package. And then even with the $299 pricing structure, you know, platinum bundle. So do you think... do you think you'd be willing to get started on any of these today?
We can. I gotta do something, you know.
You want to do the $199 package just to start it out, or do you want to have us do the Facebook ads too and do the $299 one?
Let me see here. Let me see. All right, so I'd like to, if it's possible, I would like to still try with the, I'm going to take care of the Facebook.
Do it yourself?
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's no problem. We'll start you out at $199. Like I said, though, it with a $199 package, it's worth its weight in gold. But give it at least 2 months, okay? It's not going to be a flip of the switch thing. Let us build this for you, get you that consistent flow of calls. I'm telling you, you won't regret it. You're coming through to June. You'll be at full blast by the time we're peak season. So a lot of things will change.
I'm hoping. Yeah, for sure. Now this here, right? So the $199, So that's going to be for 2 months. And then does the price change if I want to keep going for July or August?
No, Charles, no. I'm going to send you in writing. It's $199 month to month for as long as you want to stay with us.
Beautiful, because I want to build a relationship with you guys.
We do,
my brothers.
Yeah. And that's why I'm doing that, too, is the goal is to work with you long-term. I'm sure Jim will be happy when we talk about it at lunch today, too, you know, that you came on board. Yeah, and the goal is to work together long-term. But the only way we're going to get you to anywhere long-term is if we turn some things around and get you profitable. Because if you're not profitable, then I'm not going to see you here in a couple of months. You know what I mean? So.
Right.
That's a big reason why I'm going, okay, let me give them as much as I can for as little as I can.
Right.
Get you into the green. Cause it's not just about offsetting that $199. You know, we gotta try to offset the hole that's been dug to this point with equipment expenses and everything else. Not blaming you. I'm just saying that's how we're looking at it. We want you to be in a green situation. If you're in the green, then we know you don't have any problem paying that $199 each month. And we don't have a problem working together long term. So we'll both have our goals accomplished, you know.
Okay, great. Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to create your Google business profile for Charlie's Plumbing and Home Repair. Do you usually go by Charlie?
I do, yep.
Oh, okay. I was calling you Charles the whole time.
No, that's fine. No, that's all right.
Okay.
My family calls me, Charles, so that's fine.
Yeah, some call me Jazz, some call me John. You know, most people call me John, realistically. I usually ask people to call me John just because my first name always leads to this conversation. Your parents' musicians? I'm like, no, it's just with one Z. I guess my dad liked it, so he just decided it was a good name for his kid. But, all right, so I'm going to create your Google business profile. On the first page of Google, you can only have one number up there. Did you want to use this phone number that we're on right now?
Yes, please. Yeah.
Okay. So 607-644-6409?
Yes. Yep.
All right. And then, Charles, what's your last name?
Seree. S-E-R-E-E.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I saw that on your website. And then you do want us to rebuild the site, right? Do the custom website design for you?
I'm trying to envision, but all right.
Here, let me show you an example. Hold on,
okay,
I got one for you. Let me text it to you. Where is it? My site demo. There we go. These are nice. And hey, I'm not saying your website's bad. I've seen a lot worse.
No, that's fine. No, I get it.
Yeah.
But I work hard at that.
Yeah. No, it's not an easy thing to do. I respect that. Yeah.
Actually, on the page, there's a photo that's actually me. It's a genuine, a genuine photo. So I tried.
Yeah, those are awesome. We'll have you send those in. You know what I mean? Any photos that you have, we'll have you send them in, and we'll use them for the custom site if you opt into that. But they're very nice sites. You know, they're mobile responsive, fully customizable, unlimited amount of pages. You can kind of scroll through them. You can see how they format on the phones. Even they change with the responsive designs they have. So they're very cool.
Oh, I see it. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah. No, it looks great. Really, this is it, huh?
Yeah. You know, those are examples. So this one's a demo, all right? It says my site demo, okay. But we would fully customize it for you. So we'll put your logo, you know, your photos in there, create a portfolio in the gallery tab and everything. That way you could see how much work. Yeah, if you hit the PC version of it and then you hit gallery, you'll start seeing all those pictures you could put in there. Very nice. And then the great thing is any changes you want to make while you're using the service are free, right? You don't get hit with these surprise bills. $199 is all you pay. You don't have lead fees popping up on you, website fees popping up on you, none of that nonsense. It's literally just, hey, pay $199, the 25th day, of each month, that's it. Everything in between, you know, we'll take care of you. That way the money's just out of the way. You know, we're treating you as a customer and take care of the customer, and we can focus on the actual work that needs to be done, not have billing discrepancies going on.
All right, yeah. Yeah, I like the gallery. That looks good. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that looks
now
cool.
It's a simple one. I mean, this is a very simple demo, right? I have guys that fully customize this thing, and they're like, you know, 26 pages deep. And we could do that too. If you want it simple, we can make it simple. If you want it, you know, really extravagant, then we could do that as well. But my point I'm trying to make is I'm offering that to you, no extra charge. We could even put it on the domain that you already have, so that way if you handed out any business cards with that charliesplumbingandhomerepair.com on it, you know, those will still be valid. It'll just show the new content on there.
All right, cool. All
right, cool. So I'm opting into that. So let me go ahead and copy and paste on your business profile. And then Google is going to send you a postcard in the mail. You heard of that before? It's called a PIN verification letter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I hope I get it.
Okay. What do you mean?
Well, when I originally tried to be verified, I applied for that card. I never got the card, so I had to do a video verify who I was.
Yeah, you know, we'll FedEx Express it to you. We're a Google partner. It's different. And when we let them know that you're running an ad with us, too, and we submit your profile, they'll get it to you. Trust me.
Okay.
Or they're not going to get paid. You know what I mean?
That was a super interesting experience for me, because I had to do a video and video, mm-hmm. like, where I live and who I am, and show some documents that I'm registered as a business, and then show my tools.
Yes.
And my business card and all of that.
Google doesn't play around, and when you're in an industry where you're going into people's house, they don't play around with that.
For sure.
Locksmiths, these guys get vetted so bad, so bad. Like,
we don't
play around, because it's just, you're getting into people's homes, you're able to see what's in people's homes. Yeah.
Right.
And then, you know, Google has to take some accountability for it if we recommend you and then something bad happens. So it does happen. You know, this guy's going, hey, I found this contractor. Google told me it was a trusted contractor. Later that night, they came back. They looted my whole house. They held us at gunpoint. Like, what? You know? So Google, that has happened. they have their fixes now around it. You know, their vetting process has gone deeper and deeper. But, you know, they don't play around about that. They want to verify you. They want to know, you know, you're trusted. Not going to run into any kind of issues. Now, this one's going to be a lot less advanced than like a Google Guarantee campaign or something like that. This will be really easy. It's just, we're going to verify you here. We're going to vouch your credibility for you, and they're going to send you the postcard. You receive the postcard, 5-digit number on the back. We can go ahead and verify the listing and post you. So it'd be simple. Usually takes about 5 to 7 days to get the card sent out by the end of today.
Okay.
But what's the business street address that I could send that to?
Okay, it's 10 Evergreen Street, and that's Afton. Yep.
Evergreen Street, Afton. Okay, I got it. 13730.
Correct. Yep.
All right, and you could hide the address if you want, so that way the customers aren't seeing it. You want me to do that?
Yeah, they're not. Yeah, probably, because it's not like I have a shop where they can come in and just be, like, browsing around. I'm not selling faucets, you know what I mean?
Exactly. You're going to them. They're not coming to you. So that's kind of why I mentioned it. I was like, if you had
if a neighbor came by and said, hey, Charlie, hey, can you help me out? You know, that obviously that's different.
Yeah,
but
if they see you on Google and they already know where you live, they'll just roll over to your house. That's another thing. But I don't want general public people who are just looking for a plumber go, okay, let me go show up at this guy's address. That's also part of protecting you. Now you're putting yourself out there going, hey, I'm a business owner. And a bad guy's going, hey, I know where a business owner's house is. You know?
Right. You've probably got a lot of tools that he's not using. Maybe your equipment you can check out.
Yeah, you know, this local crackhead going to come in there and try to steal your stuff in the middle of the night and find it at a pawn shop a week later.
Then I'll have to buy it back at twice the price.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, so I'll hide that for you. And then the email address, like, what's the best email address for me to send over the receipt? And I'm going to send you the whole agreement in black and white that you get that $199 for that pro package, and we're building the site for you.
Okay, great. It's going to be 3.charles@gmail.com.
Oh, Sari, your last name, right?
Yeah, it's my last name first, yep.
Okay, I gotcha. I thought you said 3, like the number.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's 3, okay. 3.charles@gmail.com?
Yep.
All right, perfect.
That's it.
An update. I love your last name, by the way. My youngest son, I named him Kyrie, K-Y-R-E-E, with 2 E's like that. And his middle name is actually G, J-E-E. And people go, what the heck, you know? And if you look up that name, Kyrie, in Greek, it means Lord have mercy.
And it's
a Christian liturgy, but it's a Greek language. Yeah, so it means Kyrie. But I love that E-E. My mom was Christy Lee. Same thing, like E-E, and then middle name L-E-E. And I don't know, it just kind of runs in my family. I have a niece named Riley, which R-Y-L-E-E. So I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Double E ending, and it kind of runs in my family. Cool. All
right. Very cool.
Yeah, it was weird. I don't know why I saw that last name. I was like, that's cool. I like that, Sari.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now, actually. The meaning, friend, pure, beloved, Kareed, is a modern American name inspired by Irish and Greek roots, meaning beloved.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, we K-Y-R-E-E. Well, the way it's spelled in Greek is actually not with the E-E. It's K-Y-R-I-E in the Greek spelling. Yeah, in the Greek spelling.
I spelled the K-A-R-E-E. Okay.
Oh,
I spelled the K-A-R-E-E. All right.
No, it's K-Y-R-E-E, the way I spelled it for my son, but it's K-Y-R-I-E. There's a basketball player that comes up with it, and this guy's a joke. But if you actually look up the name meaning of Kyrie, it's
cool.
It means Lord have mercy. Yep. Or I might say the Lord for short, but it says from Greek origins, general neutral name. Kyrie refers to the word Lord. It stems from the oldest religious refrains, Kyrie eleison. It's an old liturgy that says Lord have mercy. So its name translates to Lord have mercy on my baby boy.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, okay, I guess I'll do that. But then I did the EE because I love the EE. So I actually took the name and then changed it a little bit because I like that EE at the end. So. All right, boom, Charles 3. All right, so I got your profile all set up here. How do you want your hours of operation?
8 to 5 Monday through Friday, and then Saturdays. I'm 8 to 2. I may change it. I mean, I do work past those hours. I have actually got home where it's like 9, 10 o'clock at night. So it's not like I won't work past those hours. So.
Yeah, but I mean, I could schedule it. I could switch it at any time if you want to switch it. So if you get to a point where you're like, hey, I don't want people thinking that they can't call me after hours, because maybe I do still want the calls, but I'll schedule the work for next day. Or maybe it's one of those things where you give them a free quote on something simple and then you schedule it for the next day. So we could do that. Sometimes people see the little icon on there and they go, okay, he's closed, and then they don't call you, you know, because it looks
right,
like you're closed.
Exactly.
And there's like a little red and green dot on the listing. So like, let them know open, closed, and it'll have your hours on there. So I'll set it like this for now. If you want to swap it though, just let me know. I'll shoot you a text right now with my direct number and extension. Looks like you already got Jim. It's the Hawks number in there, but I'll add me to it. And you will hear from those guys again, by the way, as we're going through the service, just so you know.
All right. Great. Yep.
Yeah. They're just,
awesome.
They work at a floor just underneath where I'm at, but I see them every day.
Oh, great. All right.
Yeah. Jim's really cool. I like Jim a lot. I don't know why all my friends are older guys. My wife laughs about that all the time. Oh, yeah, so full wisdom. I think just because even my I'm only 30, but I don't drink and stuff. Like, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do any of that. I don't partake in any of that. I like going to go to church. Don't get me wrong, I drink gallons of coffee. I exercise like a madman, but I think even my generation, and then I'm also a dad, my generation is very, they still go out and party and get drunk, and I'm like, nah, I'd rather not. I'd rather be at home and see if my kids are saying today or what they learned, or, you know, so kind of.
Yeah.
My friends are at church usually, and they're older guys. So. All
right. That's good.
Yeah. Well, I think that came from also my grandfather was basically my father. He was the chauffeur for President Eisenhower. He drove him for years. Yeah, he was Secret Service. He worked at the White House. Yeah, he passed away, though, recently. And feels recent. 2018. He was 84 years old when he passed away. So he was driving Eisenhower. He was 21.
Wow.
And he used to tell me all these crazy stories. Yeah. But they bombed Hiroshima on his 7th birthday. It was August 6th of 45. And he was 7. Or I think it was his 10th birthday. He was born in 35. That's crazy. Yeah, man, it was a little story. So, but that was my best friend growing up. He introduced me to the Lord and everything. So I think that's part of it, where I get that. I'd rather just sit around and share stories with guys, talk. Nowadays, it's weird. People just text you and you don't see them or talk to them for days on end. Yeah. That's why I love my job. Yeah, I don't like that. That's why I love my job. I'm old school. I'd rather talk to you and meet you. You know, it's a better way to go about it. And
How I grew up. Handshake. Yeah. Eye contact.
Yeah.
And
That's half the conversation right there is body language and eye contact. You could tell a lot, you know, just having a conversation and talking with people. Okay, this guy doesn't want to talk anymore. I can tell I'm out of here.
Yeah, right. He's got his arms folded. He's looking up everywhere but my direction. He's looking at the ground.
He's like, okay. Yeah, all right. Have a good day.
He's tapping his feet. Okay, he's got somewhere to go.
Yeah. Even when I'm saying the bad words, like, all right, effer, you know, you're messing around. And you say it in person, it's a joke. It's funny. You put it on a text message. And you know, hurt somebody's feelings. You get punched in the face the next time you see them.
Wow. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's overly sensitive generation that we got going on here.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. My grandpa used to tell me all the time, like, if we ever get into World War III, we ain't going to win this time because these kids are soft.
Mm. Yeah, I hear that from my dad. My dad's 86, 87. He just had cataract surgery, and he's toughing it out. I mean, he's going through. He just says, hey, he goes, I'm old. What am I going to do? And I'm like, oh, you know, you're tough. I said, you'll hang in there. You'll be fine. You know,
yeah, it's hard though. It's scary because just you're dealing with the acceptance, you know, like, okay, I'm at this point.
He gets depressed and I try to give him encouragement, you know, like.
Yeah, that's only natural. That's only natural though. You get him prayed up, you know, that's the way to do it. Get his peace of mind going. My grandfather was like that towards the end of his life. He told me one Christmas he sat down. He goes, hey, you know, I'm not going to be around next Christmas. I go, what? Don't talk like that, you know. He was right, you know. And he's like, no, I'm just letting you know. But he's like, it's okay. I'm all prayed up. He's like, I just worry about you guys, you know.
That's kind of where my dad's at. He kind of talks about it, and it's like, I'd like to see you at least one more time. And I said, don't worry, we're working on it. We're working on it. But he can't travel alone, you know.
Yeah, do it, Charles. Because I had that problem too. And my grandfather, we used to go fishing. From when I was little, church and fishing, that's always what we did. Sometimes we do them both in the same day, church, breakfast, fish. And it was like, I remember the last couple weeks, he deteriorated real quickly. And I remember, we're going to go fishing one more time. You know, we're going to go fishing one more time. He goes, yeah. And I remember he called me one day. He goes, okay, let's go fishing tomorrow. I don't think I can. I got a lot of stuff on my table. How about this weekend? By the end of the weekend, they had him in the hospice. And they were like, he's not going anywhere. And then it was like, I talked to him a couple more times, prayed with him. I went down and saw him once. And then after that, that was the last time I ever saw him. So don't delay those things, you know, because I kick myself in the butt all the time. Like, man, if I would have just called in to work and just put everything on the back burner and went fishing with him.
Dad, yeah. I was busy, you know, I was busy, and I was. I wasn't blowing him off. It wasn't like, oh, well, I'm hanging out with my friends. I don't want to hang out with the old man, because we used to go fishing all the time, and he taught me actually how to fish.
Yeah.
I think there's an old proverb, and they say, you know, you can give a man a fish
for a day,
and he'll eat one
day.
Oh,
my God, we're the same.
We're
the same. I knew we were the same. I was thinking that, too. That's my motto when I raise my boys. I tell my wife,
I'm a big proponent on teaching people things, even if it's just little things, because I know they'll develop into bigger things, and they'll be more independent, and they'll be able to, you know, look back and say, okay, now I understand why you showed me these things.
Yeah, my grandfather used to have three steps to that.
Weighing them. He goes, now that you caught the fish, he goes, how are you going to prepare the fish? I said,
right.
Well, he goes, you know how to fillet it. I said, well, that's a fancy word. I said, you know, fillet it. Yeah. I mean, don't I cut the head off and just wrap it in tin foil?
You got it.
He kind of snapped and he goes, well, you know what? You got to debone it, you know. And
yeah, take the guts out. Yeah, my grandpa used to tell me.
Little techniques. Yeah.
He put three parts to it. He said, you give a man a fish, he eats for a day. You teach a man to fish, he eats for a lifetime. And if you teach a man about God, he lives forever.
That's right. Eternally. Yeah.
You give him a fish, he lives for a day. You teach him a fish, he lives for a lifetime, right? He could eat forever. And then you teach him about God, he lives forever.
Life,
and once you leave life, you got your eternal. Yeah, he turned it into a three-stage thing. And he was the guy who taught me about Jesus Christ. My dad was a hellion. I don't think I ever would have known God if it wasn't for my grandfather. Because he would come pick me up. And the way he got me hooked, actually, was he would pick me up for Sunday school, and he would always promise me breakfast. So I would wake up at 6:30, you know, all my brothers and sisters are sleeping. I go, oh, my grandpa's going to be outside at 6:30, and we're going to go get breakfast.
Right.
I'd be six, 7 years old, you know. I'm like, okay, I couldn't wait. I'd have my shoes on. I'd be ready. He'd come get me at the peak of right at the beginning of sunrise, and I'd hop in his truck, and we'd go to church. You know, by the time I get back, it'd be 10 o'clock. Everybody in the house is still waking up getting their cereal, you know.
Yeah, I'm sorry for your loss. You know,
I'm religious.
Nice to be in, well, they live in our memories, certainly, you know.
I'll see him again. There's a reason I'm here. You know what I mean? That's why my boys are here now. So I'm supposed to be here. I'm where I'm supposed to be. He's where he's supposed to be. One day we'll all be united. And I'll introduce him.
Yep.
You know, so there's a lot of people. He lost a brother. He was in a family of 10. He lost a brother at 20 years old to cancer, and he lived to be in his 80s. So, and then my grandmother and my mother passed away in 2010. So he outlived his brothers, two of them, most of them actually. He outlived his wife, and he outlived two of his daughters. So when I say he was ready to go, he was ready to go. He didn't. He loved us, and he would love to hang around longer, but he's like, I also want to go see those people. I've been waiting for years, you know. So when you have that faith and you get prayed up, you stop fearing it after a while. It's the Superman syndrome. You know, you live so long, you start seeing everybody you love go away, and you go, I don't want to be alive anymore. Living forever doesn't sound so good without everybody, you know. So
that's true.
Yeah, that's why anytime you get afraid, or if your dad gets afraid, it's because he's away from the book and away from his belief. Once he gets back into his belief and you refresh him, that's why going to church is so important. As we get older, you refresh him and you stop fearing it so much. Nothing to fear. Hurt for a second and then you get to sleep forever. Sounds peaceful to me.
Yeah.
no bills, no taxes.
No bookkeeping.
No work. No bookkeeping.
No tax credit. It's
yeah, exactly. It's merciful. I wouldn't want to be living in America.
And you won't have to worry about them subcategories either, which yeah. There probably yeah. I don't know, 100 of them.
No more Joe Biden. Sounds yeah. good to me. Yeah.
Oh. That's funny.
All right, sorry. It's true, though. It's just a perspective, you know? I'm like, hey, I'm only 30, and I already think like that. Like, hey, that don't seem so bad. I miss my boys. But, you know, it don't seem so bad. It'll come when it's time, and I'm sure I'll be ready. I ain't worried about it. That's just a part of it. All right, so I'm sorry. I got your profile all set up here. What's a good time for your client interview? What's your schedule look like today?
I do have a 1 o'clock appointment. Okay. I have to head out. But then I'm probably, I got to meet with somebody in an hour. Not a big deal. They're just coming. They're going to come over here and do an assessment on my roof. Cause it's a really old house that was built in 1927.
Wow.
Structurally, the bones of the house is good, but because there are some areas of neglect or repairs prior to us buying the home 2 years ago, because the house has been around for so long, we just want to make sure the roof is going to hold up for a while, because we can't, I just don't have the finances right now to replace the whole roof. But he's willing to come over and give us an assessment and just, you know, just say, hey, this is where you're at. When you're ready to do this,
your old property.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I grew up in a home like that. It was very big. I had a lot of brothers and sisters, but it was it's made out of brick, and it had these wood shingles and these colored windows. Like, I don't know how to explain the windows, but I'll never forget them. It looked like something out of an old church, you know.
Like stained glass, like a Tiffany kind of ornate,
Yeah, it had like this crosswood between it. I never forget that as a kid looking through those windows. And then even when the sun would come through them, it would just kind of make the whole room like this colorful, tinted feeling, you know. And it was very cool in there because it was a brick house. And everything. Yeah, it was beautiful. It was really beautiful, but it was just so old. And I remember, you know, when the rain come down real bad, we got to fix a couple slats, get up there. You know, my dad slides some sheet metal under it and stuff in the middle of the pouring rain, get it stopped. After a while, it just started running into so many problems. I'm pretty sure my parents ended up taking a loss on it. But it was a great, great childhood, great place to grow up. Big backyard, big pool. Remember my dogs running around and stuff, so. Yeah, it was a good place, but those old homes. Yeah, those old homes dug a lot later than when the property was established, but it just had such a big backyard. I think it must have gone through like two or three owners. It was like a 100-year-old house. I think it outlasted a few people and sheltered a few people, you know. Sure. So the pool got built. The pool wasn't very old, but I remember I used to get up on that wood shingled roof, and I would go run and jump into the pool. Like, I could hit the pool from where the roof was in the backyard. And that was like a highlight of my childhood. But I remember a couple times those wood shingles.
I bet you wouldn't do it again, would you?
Oh, no.
Would you try to do that again? No, I don't think so.
No.
The things you used to do as kids, it's like, how did I do that? That's amazing. I used to climb up trees. I was a tree climber.
Superhuman. Yeah, I remember me too. I remember I fell out of the top of a tree and smacked my ribs on the ground, and I was completely fine. I think about it nowadays, I would have broke a hip, all my ribs.
You'd be in a body kit. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Crazy stuff that we used to do. Yeah. I used to love climbing trees because the view, you know, when you got to the top, you got to see for miles. And and I never forgot. And somebody said, well, why do you keep climbing up a tree like a squirrel? And I looked down at them. I said, you don't understand. The view up here is just, it's just, I can see like 20 to 50 miles on a clear day. I says, being down on the ground, you just see what's in front of you. You don't realize there's a whole world out there.
Yeah, you're giving me goosebumps because you're making me think about this time, and I haven't even thought about this. I just have like this image in my head. I haven't thought about in years, but I remember I grew up in Southern California. Beautiful, sunny, all the time, and you have these amazing sunsets. And I remember being in Huntington Beach, and I climbed this tree. They have these big palm trees. They don't even have like a branch to sit on. I remember I got up to the top of it, and I could see the ocean and the sunset to my left. And then when I looked to my right, I could see the mountains, snow-capped mountains. I must have been sitting in 75-degree weather, but I could see the snow-capped mountains to my right. And I looked to my left, and I see the ocean and just the distance of the ocean and the sun dropping into the water. And I remember that. And I remember the smell of it and just like the feeling of the dawn and watching the sunset from that tree. And it was amazing. I don't think there's a better place in the world, really, than there. You got the ocean. You can surf in the morning.
Yeah,
and you can snowboard at night, you know. As a young man, it was like, that was heaven. That's heaven on earth right there. And it was beautiful.
Yeah, for sure.
But you know, politically, it's hell.
politically, it's another story. It's gloomy.
Yeah.
Every day, it's like Seattle. It's raining. Like,
yeah.
It's cold, wet, and damp.
Don't look down from the tree. Yeah. You see a bunch of idiots. Don't talk to nobody. Yeah. But no. All right. But 1 o'clock, you got this appointment.
I'm thinking, probably three. I don't really have to go anywhere per se today. If I do, I'm just going down the hill. I'm going to, antique store to see, to look at something real quick, and then I'm going to be home. So I'll definitely be available by three.
Okay. Well, they're saying they have a 2 to 3 available, or we can do a 4 to 5, because it's going to be with a different technician that's going to walk you through the client interview.
Okay. 2 to 3 should be okay.
That'll be okay? Okay. So I'm going to schedule 2.
I hope so. I mean, I'm guessing he won't be here very long. I'm thinking maybe he'll get here about 1, unless he's running late, maybe 20 minutes to half hour.
We could set it tentatively, though. They're good guys. You just let them know, hey, I'm actually busy right now. Can you call me back later on? They'll schedule it. We'll get it knocked out. They understand. Yeah. I'll work with any knuckleheads. Yeah. All right. Let me go ahead. I'm going to schedule you, and I'll send you a calendar invitation to your Gmail here. And if you see it come across as Jazz, that's me, too. So some stuff is John. Other stuff's Jazz. Oh, I got your picture popped up there. All right, cool. So I know that's you.
Right. Yeah, that's me. I don't know who that person is anymore. When I look in the mirror, I'm saying, damn, who's that old man?
Yeah, I know. Isn't that weird how that life does that to us? Like we're still young inside, and we still feel like the same person inside.
I scared myself one morning, a true story. I mean, I must have had a rough night or something. I looked in a mirror, and I had to look twice because it actually scared me. And I'm like, oh, Lord.
I know that feeling.
Like, where did those wrinkles come from?
My mom had cancer when I was young, so, it definitely...
Mine too. Yeah,
she had melanoma. She was real fair skin. She had skin cancer. Nowadays, the survival rates are like 90% for the skin cancer, even melanoma.
Yeah.
But back then, it wasn't. And she'd gone through chemo and all kind of stuff. They cut it out. 7 years later, they're like, hey, this metastasized everywhere. And so she passed away. So I'm like a hypochondriac. Oh, all of a sudden, I get a new spot in the mirror, and I'm like, oh, my God. It just tears my whole morning up. And I'm calling the doctor, and my doctor's so used to seeing me. And she goes, you're probably one of the healthiest people I know. You know, you ran marathons.
Yeah.
Like
you don't
see
smoke,
the guys
you don't
that
drink.
I see. Yeah, she's like, if you could see through my eyes, like all the people that come through this office, and then you see yourself, she's like, you would have no concerns. But Exactly. No drinking, no smoking. Like, she's like, they got guys in here, it's just all kinds of problems. They got real issues, and you're over here worried about spots and little minor aches and pains when you're beating your body up. I remember one time I came in and said, my back hurts. I don't know what it is. I think it's my lungs. I need to get a CT scan. I got lung cancer. And she's like, you don't smoke. Well, something's wrong, you know. Did you work out recently? Yeah, okay, you probably pulled a back muscle. And I go, oh.
Yeah, what was it? Maybe when you were bench pressing that 300 pounds, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I only did 2 sets.
I was like, well, I did do a bunch of pull-ups the other day. And she goes, yeah, you probably
did. You do those one-finger pull-ups? Yeah, the one-finger pull-ups. Remember? You were feeling really strong that day.
Yeah, you were feeling good.
Your shoulders were a little sore.
She was right, though. She was like, do me a favor, go home. I was like, you're not going to give me any kind of like pain medication or have me get a scan at least? She's like, go home. Come back in a month. I'll schedule it for a month. And we'll see how you feel. I called her 2 weeks later. We don't need that appointment. I'm okay. She's like, Jesus, this guy, man, you know? So, I know. It's part of it. I understand that, though. Just as we get older, I'm like, okay, I know one day I'm going to get bad news. One day,
well,
right? We all are.
When I work, like, not working out, but, like, if I work hard, meaning just, like, I'm doing, like, a ceiling job and...
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm working above my head, and I'm using, like, muscles that I'm not used to using, you know, which is normal even for a 30-year-old, 40-year-old, and so on, you know. The next day, your shoulders are going to be sore. I don't, you know, you might even, your neck, too, because for that matter, the muscles are connected to your neck, too.
Yeah, no, I exercise a lot. I actually got really heavy into exercise when my first son was born, because I was like, oh, I don't want to be that dad where he's trying to play ball, and I'm like, not today, I'm tired, you know? That's what really motivated me, was him being born. And then I'm like, okay, I want to see him get his first job or go off to college or get facial hair, you know what I mean? So then I'm like, okay. So I got really active into it a few years ago, and it's just so that I could pick them up and just be a good dad, really.
Sure, absolutely.
Whatever.
You never have the energy.
Yeah, exactly. And exercise does that. You know what I mean? You work out in the beginning of the
endurance.
Day, usually kind of sets you. Yeah, it gives you that endurance, gives you, you know. So I kind of motivated myself through that kind of thought process. Like, okay, my boys, I got to keep up with these kids. I want to, you know, be able to be a present dad and be a good dad for them. And then, you know, but through that process, I've also gotten so many injuries and just aches and pains and soreness, and I'm going, am I really doing myself a service by going to the gym all the time like that, or am I really just beating myself up? Because I know if I didn't go to the gym, I wouldn't have this pain.
right.
Yeah.
Well, what they're saying, no pain, no gain.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know if that's true, but I do feel pretty amazing for the most part. I tell people that all the time. They're like. Like, oh, you don't want to go out and get a drink? I'm like, no. They're like, why? I'm like, because I don't want to feel like crap tomorrow. I don't see value in that. I don't want to go spend money that I could be investing in. I make investments. I don't waste money. You know? Yeah, I use it. Make it work for you. And go, oh, come on, it's just a beer. You know, I used to do it all the time in college. And I'm like, yeah, well, I was also running businesses in college, but I didn't have kids, you know, so.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, but just that there's no point in it. I like feeling good, and that's the key. That's why I think why I like the coffee. Get me a pick-me-up. All right, I feel good. The exercise, I feel good, and I'd rather just ride that wave. The alcohol, you might feel good for a second, but then the long term, you know, the next morning even, and you feel like crap, and then you just wasted money on it. So I don't need to teach you that. But I know about being scared in the morning, too, because I've had some days like that where I was younger, where I was drinking, and I woke up severely sick, and I'm going, it's not just a hangover. Like, the hypochondriac kicks in, and I'm like, oh, I messed up my liver. It hurts. It's never going to get better. I'm going to die, you know?
I tickled my liver.
Yeah. And then I also have the acceptance of, like, we're all going to die one day. So it's weird. It's like, I know it's going to happen, but then I also still do everything I can to, like, prevent it and try to be healthy and live as long as possible for my guys. So,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's weird. Life's a strange thing. But that give a man a fish, man, just talking to you, I could see why you and Jim got along. I'm going to go talk to him at lunch and let him know that we're starting your campaign up. I'm sure you'd be happy, but I see a lot of similarities between the three of us. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so I got everything squared away here. You should have the invitation there, though, Charlie.
That you texted it, right? Or
No, it's emailed. I will text you the receipt and everything. Yeah, here, let me do that now. Let me just go to billing and adjust you real quick here. We're chopping it up. Okay, so this one's going to be a pro package with the MySight.
Got it.
Let me do this.
J-A-Z, okay. Jazz Hill. Got it.
Yep. Well, it's going to be under Jazz One. It should say on there, but J-A-Z. Okay. $199. This is going to be for pro package. All right, let me just turn this from a 4 to a 1. And then, okay, we're going to add your MySight. Have Steve work on your custom website design for you. He might ask you for the login credentials for your domain name just so that he can put the content on there for you. But I'll walk you through how to do that if you're not too computer savvy.
Okay. Not really, to be honest. But
I used to try
to convince myself like I was, like, oh, I can do this, I can do anything, I could just, you know, learn
yeah,
it.
But you
not
can.
A big deal.
You can. Don't discredit yourself. You can.
I'm not exercising it, though. Like, you know, like you can learn something,
yeah.
But if you're not utilizing right. that knowledge, you're going to lose most of that information.
Well, the struggle with the online marketing, really, is that it changes so much. You have to actually be in it every single day in order to keep up with it. They make it that way
yeah.
for a reason, you know? So, you know, the guys that are up there are working with a professional, and Google will know that too, right? They're working with somebody who's actively maintaining it for you rather than, oh, I did this one time and it's just up there all the time, you know? It's not how it goes. So it definitely will make you feel like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing, because there's a change that happened. You had it one day and then all of a sudden they made a change, and now it's like, you know, technology is very evolving. It's kind of scary, actually. They have all this crazy technology coming out.
I've been following it a little bit, and it is definitely.
Yeah. You ever see that old that Will Smith movie, I, Robot?
Oh yeah, of course.
I've seen one of those things, a real one, at a Google headquarters, like a real one, like walking around, like a human, like it human face. It blinks. It has eyes, like. There's cameras in the eyes, and it has chat GPT. Yeah, and it has like generic responses. Like you talk to it, and it talks back to you. Yeah, it's really strange.
I think that's true. The movies, you know, you go even further back, like with Arnold Schwarzenegger in Terminator.
Yep,
you know, that was kind of mind blowing back in my day because that was so futuristic. But
and
now
it's very real.
Like, oh, wait a minute. This is, like, not futuristic anymore. This is, like, the now. This is present.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they know what they're doing. I had some crazy stories with my grandfather, because Eisenhower was the conspiracy guy with all the alien stuff. My grandfather told me one time, he was old, and I started freaking out, because I'm going, okay, you know, is he just getting senile because he's getting close to that time or what? But I remember in some of his last days, he'd go tell me, your phone's reverse engineered. He kept telling me that. Those phones are reverse engineered. I seen those things in the 50s. I go, what? And he kept saying that. They're reverse engineered. And I'm
going,
what?
They've been out a long time, that technology.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and he's like, they're not from here. They're reverse engineered. And I'd be like, oh, okay, he's losing it. You know, because he was always so sharp and so smart. And then I thought about it, and I go, okay, I go look back in Eisenhower's era, and that's when they first started talking about UFOs and finding UFOs. And I'm going, what do you mean? Phones aren't from here. So they figured out that you send a satellite out into space, and you can get a signal from space all the way around the world, and you can call on these phones without actually having a line, like a landline attached to it, you know? And he's like, that's all reverse engineering. Like, they basically figured – he's trying to tell me that they figured that out based off stuff that landed here and they found it. And then they go, okay, they took it apart,
ancient,
figured out how all this stuff worked.
Technology, you know.
Yeah. Basically, like, they took it apart, figured out how it worked, and started making radios and starting, you know, and they saw all that stuff.
So there is science that shows there's advanced ancient technology that was so advanced that they were able to cut stones with laser precision, and then they're scratching their heads and like, wait a minute, lasers did not exist that many years ago.
Yeah. Or did it?
Like, we're talking like thousands and thousands of years ago. Like, how is this possible? So, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, we got to think those massive extinction events, you know? I mean, if we were really... human beings were around, and then we had all this technology. Maybe we developed to a point like we are now, and then the mass extinction wiped us out. Maybe a few people were still alive, but those people didn't know how to build a phone, or, you know what I mean? So they just start all over from scratch. You know, it's hello. Like, wow.
Hi.
This is, say hello to my friend, John.
Oh, hi, John.
Oh. Hi. we're over here talking about life.
Yeah. This is my Julie, my soulmate.
Oh, your other half.
Yeah, my other half. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I say. I got my better half is at home.
Yeah, better half. Yep. Yeah. It's definitely we've been through a lot together, and she's very supportive of what I'm doing, and I'm grateful to her.
She believes in me. Smart, you're doing. You know? Yeah, that's all we need sometimes, you know. I get those points. Like
a little kick in the butt.
Yeah. No, hey, a family, you know, my wife and my kids are the best motivator for everything. Yeah, I used to think about.
I got to move my butt. That's one of my things in the morning I say. I got to get my butt going. I got to move my butt.
Yeah. Yeah, anybody that does amazing things, if you look at it, they all got huge motivators like that, where it's either their spouse or their children. And that's why it's so important that we have a hetero existence moving forward.
Yeah,
because mankind is motivated by these things, you know. It's just,
she was just reminding me that, he's on his way. He'll be here probably in a little while. So
okay,
I guess he's
going
to get me a little earlier. No, don't be sorry. She was just letting me know. She didn't want to interrupt the conversation.
No, I got you. Yeah, I was like, okay, we can wrap this up. I've just enjoyed talking to you.
Man. You kidding me? This is awesome. And I'm glad I'm partnering up with you know, folks that I can refer to as my family and I can trust wholeheartedly. And that's important to me. It really is.
Oh, it's important to us, too.
You'll notice my humanness. You know, that I'm not perfect, and I'm not going to ever pretend that I know something if I don't. If I have a question, I ask. That's how I learn.
Yeah.
And I'm
still learning. No, you're going to notice that as you go through this process with us, and the more people you meet this company, you're going to realize, like, yeah, we look at it the same way. We're trying to build relationships with you and understand you, you know, and what your struggles are there. Because even though we're doing these things online, you know, your experience and what's actually happening down in the field is different, you know, and we can't always see that or get that feel for that without communicating with you. And that's the only way we're going to be able to solve any of the issues that you face, and understanding where you're at and how to progress forward is you got to be able to communicate with you. So you'll notice that the more people you talk to this company, we're built that way. We have a lot of meetings where we talk about the campaigns that are successful and the ones that are not. It's really the business owner. It's like a certain type of personality and their ability to communicate and us being able to communicate with them that have the success. You know, we run into these guys that are like foreigners sometimes, or maybe they don't have the same. A lot of us we're good old boys.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, you run into these foreigners and stuff, and then, we bring them on board, and they want this to happen, and this to happen, and this to happen, and this isn't working this way, and we're not able to communicate properly or have the same understanding or the outlook of things, and then those are always the ones that's like, okay, we fell apart at somewhere, and it wasn't anything that we could have controlled other than communication, so... you'll notice that as you move forward, these guys were very adamant about
communicating with you. Now, I'm not saying that you won't run into some people that aren't good old boys. You may, right? We have a 24/7 customer service. Our company's very big. Got a lot of people, a lot of parts. But I'll send you my direct number and extension. And, you know, if you ever feel uncomfortable or you want to just talk with me, you're more than welcome to do that.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
it's been quite a journey for me, and quite scary and exciting and, you know, and challenging.
Yeah.
You know?
But yeah, that's what makes it beautiful. That's what makes it beautiful. Yeah. You know, I had some points because I ran some marathons. And I've had some real soul searching that happens in a marathon. I don't know if you've ever done one.
I watched it on TV, but
yeah.
I never actually.
Your body is shutting down. I mean, I have just from moving your arms, you got rash under your armpit. Your nipples want to bleed. Your ankles are screaming. Your knees are screaming. You know, you're hot. There's so much things happening. I'm going, am I going to die right now? Is this worth dying over? You know, and you go through all that hell. And then at the end, you have this endorphins, this high of just gratification and satisfaction and completion and success. And that's why people do it. And that lasts for like a week, 2 weeks. You just feel. It's a surreal feeling. You feel like superhuman, almost. No, like there's nothing.
It sounds like that time when I was riding my bicycle up in the Alps in the south of France. I was pushing myself back then. I was very athletic. Just real quick, as a kid, I played baseball. I played soccer. I used to go to the gym. I used to bodybuild. But this is many, many years ago. So, you know, my 14, 15, 16, 17. Coming out of preteen, going into teen, I finished baseball, went into soccer, and then did all that stuff. But then I got into cycling.
Oh,
and it was awesome and very challenging, very, very, very challenging.
Yeah, I love endurance sports like that. When I run these marathons, you'd be surprised. Almost everybody when I'm out there, they're business owners. And these guys, and I go, what is it? What is it about this group of people? That they're almost all extremely successful people. It's not like you just have this random guy that, you know, goes and drinks beers on the weekend and then he's over here ready to run a marathon, right? It's a very unique group of people, and these people understand hard work because you have to train to get to that point. They understand delayed gratification. They understand commitment, and those are all things that are ideal for a business owner. If you go into starting a business and you just go, hey, I just want to make money. That's it. I just want to make money. It's not about helping people. It's not about, the ups and the downs. It's not about any of that. Cause these guys understand downs. You know, like I said, there's times where I've had to take money out of my own pocket, just to pay my guys because the business was down. You know what I mean? But having those tough periods make the high so much sweeter, so much sweeter. And they understand that's part of the journey. It's like, it's not always going to be good. It's going to suck. A lot of times for business owners, people make it out to be like, oh, it's this great, big, great thing. And it is, but you got to be willing to go through the suck. You got to be able to run the marathon first. You got to have that mindset that I'm not going to quit no matter how hard it gets. I'm going to keep pushing forward, you know, and that's why those people are there. That's why those are the business owners. I understood that. It's their mentality of I'm willing to endure this pain to feel this gratification. And that's what separates the one percenters from the rest of the group, realistically. Yeah, so I don't mean to be preaching, but there's going to be that.
No, it's true.
Yeah, there's going to be that reflection period when this is all going well, and you're going to still remember where it started, and that's going to keep fueling you to move forward, and then go sit on a beach somewhere and just enjoy yourself for a while. You know, we're not meant to just work forever.
Yeah. So. I used to be able to work 14 hours a day and it wouldn't faze me. Now I do it, and well, I think I start feeling it right about 10 hours into the day.
Yeah.
But I keep plugging along. I just It might take me, you know, a little longer. I've just kind of pace myself and just tell myself, well, I can get through it. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I mean, before I had my kids, I was very like, oh man.